Australian Presbyterian Bible Church, January the 20th, 2019. Our focus, Christ Without Compromise. The book, yes, God left the book. He left the corpse that was resurrected too. The book, the Bible without qualification. We don't need to tell God he should have done it this way and that way. Like an infant telling its parents how to eat. The topic, the new man, the old man, and the image of him who created man. First of all, let's cite the sites. One site that we are taking this morning, Ephesians 4. In the general passage, 4:17 to 32, we want to focus particularly on 21, 22, 23, and 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. I may add, like the rust of a car, it grows deeper and deeper. In America, you see it much more because there's the salt on the snow and it rapidly corrodes the metal, just as sin corrupts and corrodes the soul. That you put off, concerning your former conduct, therefore, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As I watch tennis sometimes, the thought that if only a player had more vitality, more zest, more zip, more vigor, more watchfulness, how different it would be. Be renewed spiritually then, that being an illustration at the sporting level, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the manner of it, in the force of it, in the penetration of it, in its resistance to what is evil, its watchfulness for what is good. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't let your mind become sluggish. And that you put on. So there's something to put off. The old man, the former nature, the natural way of things, coming into a rebellious world where, while some are redeemed, many are not. And the spirit of this world is another thing entirely. Renew in the spirit of your mind as you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now notice, the advice is to put on the new man. When I was young, I always remember my father got me a beautiful new suit. I remember wearing it to my brother's wedding. Oh, it was so beautifully crafted, and I put it on. It was ready-made. I'm sorry, it was tailored. It was tailored, and it was something that was beautiful to look at least in my young eyes. It was such a piece of craftsmanship. It was all there. It was all ready. I didn't have to touch a stitch. So put on the new man, which is after the image of Christ who created. Something which is formulated according to the form and factors that were there at the first. Put on this new man. It's already. You don't have to adjust it. It's there. Take it from Christ. Live in it and with it. And as you pray and preserve this and that relative to the fit, it's not going to be the new man that's a bad fit. It's going to be you that are a bad client. You're not wearing it right. You're being too slack, too sloppy, or whatever. Put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And this new man is created according to God in true righteousness. Oh, doesn't that feel like a summer breeze to you? That phrase, true righteousness. There's false righteousness, there's self-righteousness, but there's also true righteousness. Like true blue. It is a righteousness which is sanctioned by God, granted by God in justification through the grace of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. It is solid, it is virtuous, it is sure, it is immovable. It cannot be twisted, it cannot be corrupted. It is the righteousness of God. Put it on. Live in it. Live with it. Be inspired by it. You don't have to make it, but you do have to put it on. Some people put it on in an idiomatic way. We sometimes say in English, oh, he's not like that. He's just putting it on. Meaning, he is making a pretense. But this is something else. You're not putting on an imaginary idea of your own to make you look different from what you are. This is putting on the true righteousness of Christ. Then in this introduction to the sights, the sighting of the sights, we turn to the other main one we have in mind, which is Colossians. Colossians 3. Now there's a subtle difference here. And as in looking at the new diamond or pearl, well, more particularly a diamond, you can look at each little facet, each beautiful facet with its contribution to the total fascinating twinkling and sparkling of the whole and to the coloration and its variation. And so here, but now, verse 8 of chapter 3 of Colossians, you are to put off. You think of someone who is a bit disgusted with the amount of professional attention he's getting, and he might say, oh, he's always putting it off. He never gets it done. It's put off for another 2 months just yesterday, etc. Well, this is something different to put off. Put off all these. Anger. How easy it is to be a man known for having a temper. Oh, he loses his temper a fair bit. Not really, does he? Even with his wife, you don't say. And with his kids, you should see him. But he's such a stable, happy man. When he loses his temper, it's like a horse that loses its bit. It gallops wildly. So, put off. Don't be ever characterizable as an angry man. Put off wrath. He's all right, except when you touch on such and such a topic, boy, does it fizzle. It reminds you of a rocket night. Put off malice. I hate those things. Oh, get those people if it's the last thing I do. You hear a lot of people saying that and you think, perhaps, if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven yourself. High price, may indeed be the last thing you do as any sort of a free individual. Yes, you are to put off passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. Do not lie to one another. Do you like this new dress, says a wife? Oh, yes, dear, it's wonderful, it's so becoming. But thinks, boy, what an appalling waste of money. That's a lie. It doesn't matter how good your intention. You have to learn ways of doing things which you want to do with goodwill without a lie. It doesn't matter about likewise and my intention was good. The truth is sacred. Think of the truth as Christ. You don't want to start carving. Do not lie to one another since you put off the old man with his deeds. And, now notice here, it's not telling you to put on the new man this time. It's telling you that you have put it on. So here's another, as with those facets of the diamond, another way of regarding the issue of the old man and new man. The new man is available, magnificent in creation, to be put on, to conform to. The scripture tells you what it is, what it's like. But you also have already, by your salvation, put on a new man. You are born again. You are regenerated. Now, in the Greek, I was checking it just the other day, it is, you've put on the new man who is being renewed. So, in this case, you've already put it on. That is the envisagement or the image whereby the spiritual truth is being relayed to us. You've put it on, and it's being renewed. It's like putting on an old coat. It was perfect, but now it's getting old. You've got patches on the elbows and so forth. But it's being renewed. This particular one is renewed from within. There used to be a thing called invisible mending. You'd have this beautiful tailored suit, and it would tear just half an inch. So you would take it to an invisible mender who, in those days, for a reasonable sum, would mend it magnificently. You wouldn't know. And that is what happens here. You've got the new man on, but as you go on wearing it, because of your various areas, you're pushing it and poking it, and it has to be renewed continually. You have to bring it before the Lord. Lord, such and such a thing happened. Such a passion, such a thought, such a hope. Such a thing flitted to my mind. And I paused for a moment to look at it. It was obviously madness. Lord, please constantly remodel my new man. Constantly remove stretchings which get it out of state. Constantly renew its tension so that it grabs my torso and doesn't lounge about in a vague, indeterminate manner, so as you begin to associate it with some sort of a coat, an overcoat. You've put on the new man, who is being renewed in knowledge. You get a bit slack. You forgot what that meant. And here other people are using it. What did it mean? What did it mean? Where am I? What happened? Why am I suddenly vague on this point? Oh yes, Satan can do many tricks. He loves to disorientate. He loves to make you forget and become forgetful. Then, if that happens, have a dictionary of the Bible. Have some sort of a Bible dictionary. When you can just look it up and there it is in one sort of place. Oh, of course, yes, yes, I was forgetting that. Yes. How could I forget that? Yes, have a Bible dictionary so you can quickly get the point. No nonsense. Ah, it all comes back. Don't allow any of Satan's tricks or traps to work on you. Be zealous, thoughtful, wise, understanding, looking ahead, but not trusting in your powers of planning. You have powers of planning? Good, use them. But don't rely on them. Never rely on your anything. Always rely on the Lord. If you learn virtuous ways and they come readily to hand, good. But always keep an eye about to see whether anything is going a bit astray. You see someone who could never go astray. Yet, am I seeing something? Did I see that happen? Should I warn him? Yes, you should. If it is serious, if it's the sort of thing you'd like to be warned about, some things you turned a blind eye to, because you realize that the person will realize himself or herself. Some things, tragedy! Imagine if David had somebody, when he was looking at Uriah's wife, said, David, my friend, may I speak a word to you, as I'd like you to speak to me if the case was... What is it? You know, that woman, you spent a long time looking at her from your palace. Could I dare to suggest, unlike as it is, that you watch out you do not become attracted in a way which would be adulterous? How dare you offer this head? No, David wasn't like that. And it is very difficult indeed to determine when any such thing should be said. That's what prayer is for. You watch, the thing grows cold, you're relieved. You watch, the thing grows hot, you're wondering. In the moment, it may snap. You try to think of some gentle way of bringing it to mind. And then he goes astray. Why didn't I? All right, that's what prayer is for. You wait upon the Lord and get wisdom. It's promised. You must never seek for wisdom and hope that you've got it and leave it at that. That's terrible. Because although the mercy of God may look upon that kindly, you must do more than hope. It tells you, this is a warning on it, that the man believe that you have it. The man who doesn't believe won't get it. Promise. You've got to believe you're going to get this wisdom. You don't have to believe you're going to become a wise man, but you do have to believe that you're going to get the wisdom on the point at issue. That may take a struggle. It may take a long time. You may say, how could I? And then you say, well, I'm not asking me. You may say, I wonder if the Lord would like to, but he does promise. You don't ask too much. Like telling the Lord how to heal your disease. If you feel moved to ask in faith, ask. But don't start telling him when, where, and how. Ask, Lord, at such time as you may desire it. It is my intense seeking that you heal this disease. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Now, it may be that the surge of faith will come up to cover the case, but it may be as with Job, this, or with, in the case of James and John, one can be killed, the other is not. One lives a long while. Wait upon the Lord, but wait in faith. And when you ask for wisdom, that's not rationed. That's not if, that's not maybe. That is a gift. That is promised. I'm just trying to emphasize, don't ask in too ebullient, too rushing a fashion. Zero down on what you really need and ask for that precisely, lest you presume. But ask for it, lest you fail. So, but we're looking at the fact you have put on the new man. And we've been looking at the difference in the concepts of these two ways of regarding the new man. One, renovation, and the other, enrobement that is permanent. And that you come and say, I will have that new man. I'm getting sloppy about the spiritual waste. So, you come by faith and the spiritual man, you come, don't stay in the fitting room saying, oh, this isn't the perfect fit. It's a perfect fit, all right. Just come and ask that this new man be assuredly emplaced upon you once more, like a knight going out to fight in armor. Make sure that it's on. Don't have little problems. If you've got a little problem, it's just becoming chronic. And that can be spiritual. A sore and vulnerable area. Ask for wisdom. And wisdom means this, don't have a spiritual ulcer. They can bleed. And blood is important. Make sure that any wriggle, itch, problem that's troubling you underneath is dealt with. Don't let a day pass in which it just sits there and grins like the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. Deal with it. So we come to our next element of focus, appreciating every aspect. Rejoice that there is a new man. Rejoice that it's a natural thing. It is a natural thing by supernatural means to get the image of the new man created in righteousness. You're going back to where you should be, where were it not for Adam and Eve and all the sin in between, it could be. It's being created in the image. It's in the image of him who made you in the first place. You've been given a wonderful new product. Make use of the fact that from one aspect, it can't be changed, and you make sure it's on like armor. And the other aspect, it needs remodeling, and you're zealously looking to say what's to be done, as with the weekly washing. But this is another aspect. What sort of a world would it be as we begin to appreciate these things? If you really had people normally behaving in this sort of fashion. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, I want you to think of a world in which this is what happens, as heaven, of course, would relate. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. As you put it on, this is part of it. Check the tender mercies area of the suit. Put on tender mercies. Tender mercies. Thoughtful mercies. Watchful mercies. Things where you really could help but just hadn't thought of it. Tender mercies. Mercies which look upon the whole state of somebody else's spirit and life. And tenderly, you see below the surface without being told, and your mercies are like that. Kindness, humility, meekness. Put on all this. I am not going to put up with that for one more minute. It's good when it's referring to sin, but when it's referring to somebody else's unfortunate manners of someone once said of someone, you have an unfortunate manner, an unfortunate manner. Make sure that you are long-suffering. I remember one member of my family, and he astounded me because he was so long-suffering. I could hardly believe that anyone could have such a heart, long-suffering, such mercies, such thoughtfulness, such tender mercies. What a lovely thing to be known for. Long suffering. Not just putting up with it. No. Perceiving the nature of the case and working diligently to rectify it whilst not exploding in the process. Oh, that is a beautiful thing. I remember our family had some beautiful vases of inlaid metalwork. And they were delicious, different colors with different patterns. So this long suffering can be like a beautifully formed vase, fascinating, intriguing, delightful. Bearing with one another. If you say that once more, I will. Yes, well, you might hear some teachers saying that to outrageous pupils, but bearing with one another. You are always forgetting to do so-and-so. I know. It's about time you grow up. I sometimes think if you're just a sort of residual adolescent, well, thank you for that. There are provocations. Don't explode. Don't react. Make it a motto. Don't be a reactor. Never become a reactor. Someone can push you there and you do that. Aha, I remember someone saying, I said that to you because I wanted to stir you up. Aho, never be a reactor. Watch and think. But be a responder. responder instead. You see what is happening. You realize, like a cricketer, that you'll be out with that ball if you don't respond watchfully. And therefore, discern where you become a reactor and avoid it. That's the old man. Be a responder. In spirit, in the spirit of Christ, you respond. And your behavior might even be felt as beautiful. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, I'm going to nail him for that. You are? Yep. Why? He knew that was my vulnerable point. All right, he yielded to a temptation. Is it worth it? A volcano? If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive one another, even as Christ forgave you. Don't forget the parable. The guy pleads with his master to be forgiven a huge debt, impossible situation for my life. I forgive you the debt. Then he goes off and says, you owe me $10 and I want that back now. That led to my pile. I'm getting really quite prosperous now. No. So the master hears him and says, I forgave you, you wicked servant, and now look what you're doing. Take the example of Christ and apply it. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Don't be stirred up by ridiculous ambitions. Be stirred up by wise ambitions. Ruled in the renewing of your mind as you look upon Christ and realize your priorities, your spiritual priorities. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful that the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Keep on imagining this world where everybody does this all the time. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts the Lord. And whatever you do, 3:17 of Colossians, in word or deed, whatever you do. Well, that's pretty embracive. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Don't have little excrescences, which are unbecoming. And verse 23 of chapter 23 of Colossians. And whatever you do, do it heartily. Put your whole heart into it. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing well, as the saying goes. Whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The Lord's Christ. And then look back and just let your eye rove over Ephesians 4, which we have looked at, but let your eye rove over it in the same area. Do not, verse 30, grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't allow salacious, foul, evil, rankly ambitious thoughts to govern the grace of your soul. By whom you are sealed for the day of redemption, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. And this is a great addition, with all malice. Mal is in the Latin for evil. Evil. Put away all desires to hurt somebody, because it is in your heart to do so. Put away malice. Be kind to one another. Tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. for thine incarnate word, that he became man and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld, or that the apostles beheld his glory, and we have seen it reflected through thy spirit, through thy word, as the grace of the only begotten. We pray that thou wilt endue us with this renovating surge in the new man we've put on, and we pray that thou endue us with this desire to put on our armour, to put on the new man, which is perfect in all its dimensions as created in Christ, and that we may, whether we look at it through the one or for the other aspect, we may be stirred and stimulated to relish the fact that we can get back to where it counts, to where it is, to what it's for, to what it's meant to be, so that the dream becomes something done instead of something hoped for. How we thank thee for thy goodness, in Jesus' name.